They say that one of John Munn's favorite topics for a Dharma talk was the theme, practicing the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma. In other words, in accordance with what the Dharma demands, not in accordance with what our likes and dislikes demand. And as we come to the West, this is probably one of the hardest things for Westerners to pick up on, to appreciate. Everywhere you look, the Dharma is being remade, recast so that people will like it. Things that people don't like are just cut away. And if things that people like are missing, well, they're added on. And so the creature that comes out is, it's like that cartoon of a committee working with an idea. The idea looks pretty good to begin with, but then after the committee's done with it, it's something totally different. Makes no sense at all. But it sells in this country of ours where democracy and the marketplace are all powerful. You know, what sells suddenly becomes what's Dharma. And who loses out? We lose out. The Dharma doesn't lose out. It's always what it is. But we like to add a little here, take away a little there. And as a result, we end up with nothing but things that we already like and already dislike. And the Buddha pointed out that the four ways that people get led off course, two of them are following along with what you like, giving in to your dislikes. The other two are just plain old delusion and fear. These are the things that pull people off the path. And you go wandering into the underbrush and then off who knows where. So because we like to follow what we like and we like to avoid what we dislike. Even though many times the things that we dislike are the things that we've got to really look at carefully. Why do we have such a dislike for them? And as for the things we like, okay, why do we like them? Exactly what do they do for us? It's easy to doubt other people, it's easy to doubt the teachings, but for some reason we find it very hard to doubt ourselves. All these convictions and preconceived notions we have that we're unwilling to give up. It's only when we're willing to put them aside and say, okay, well, maybe they're wrong. Open ourselves to that possibility. That's when we open ourselves to the Dharma. What it comes down to is an issue of respect. And the Buddha says, the reason we're suffering is because of craving within our minds. And yet we like to hold on to our craving. We're attached to it. In fact, that's the whole problem. It's our attachment there. And of all the things we're willing to give up in life, that's probably the ultimate hard thing to give up, is our attachment to our cravings. And it's precisely here where the Buddha says that's the problem. So it's a question of how much we're willing to suffer before we say, well, maybe he's right. Give some respect to his teachings and put our respect for our likes and our dislikes and our preconceived notions of what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, put those aside for the time being. And look at what the Buddha has to say. For all of this is very hard. Not just hard for Americans, it's hard for everybody. But given our culture these days, it seems especially hard for us. And so we have to be especially careful about this issue. Are we only taking what we like and avoiding what we dislike in the practice? And what do we miss out on when we do that? Because so much of the practice goes against the grain. We like to create these little worlds for ourselves. This whole issue of the effluent of becoming just comes fermenting up in the mind. And we're really good at it. We can create all kinds of worlds. You can create beautiful worlds, ugly worlds, delightful worlds, horrible worlds. And the movies that they come out with are nothing compared with what the things that we can create in our mind over and over and over again. And that's something we're really good at. We get our entertainment that way. It's a game we like to play. We're talking today about there are two parts to the mind, the part that likes to fool itself and the part that likes to be fooled. It's like little kids playing together, okay? I'll be the doctor, you be the patient, or I'll be the doctor, you be the nurse, or whatever. And say, okay, well, let's play along. And then they go into this other make-believe. And this is something we do so well, day after day after day. And when we come to the practice, we want it to be another sort of fun thing to do. And when we're told to deconstruct these things, it's very difficult for us. We're very good at putting them together, creating these worlds, but stepping out of them is hard. And so then we begin to realize, okay, the more we keep creating these things, these trains of thought that we love to follow backwards and forwards, we're just creating a lot of suffering for ourselves. And maybe there's a way out. Maybe there's something better. There's that teaching on what they call dependent. So it's transcendent core arising, which they take in your regular chain of dependent core arising, and then they end up with suffering. And then they say, but based on suffering, there comes conviction. Because at some point, you have to suffer enough to say, there must be a way out, and you're going to look for it, and you're serious about it this time. And you're willing to make whatever sacrifices are needed, including sacrificing your pride, sacrificing your attachment to your cravings, sacrificing all these little worlds that you like to create for yourself to fill up the day. And see through that process. So it's not easy, but the results are more than you can imagine, better than you can imagine. Because up to now we've been living in our imaginary worlds, and see where they've got them, see where they've got us, not all that far. But you learn how to step outside them and see what it's like. And you find that it's much wider open than you could have imagined. Even if it's just the first stages, when the mind settles down in states of concentration. Then you find that whatever presents itself for as an object of discussion or elaboration of the mind, you can say just no, 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 not interested. You can shoot it down, zap it out of your range of awareness. There's this great sense of spaciousness that comes. Even on just this level, you begin to realize, okay, this process we've been following for so long, maybe the Buddha's right, maybe there is a better way out. So as that chant we chant every now and then, having respect for concentration, learn how to have respect for that just quiet spot in the mind. The spot that's not creating any interesting ideas and that's not creating any interesting conversation. It's just a very quiet, still spot in the mind that hasn't settled down anywhere. Okay, just allow it to settle down in the breath. And just stay right there. Catch it if it seems to be moving off in any other direction. Bring it back. Learn how to freeze the mind at that spot. In other words, as soon as it seems to move to pick up something, just stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And then allow it to relax in that stopped position. And stay there. And the mind will complain, well, there's nothing interesting going into this. This is pretty dumb. Okay, well, just let it complain. But don't listen to it. Learn how to develop this skill. And it really is an important skill. This willingness to give up on our normal conversations inside. Try something really new. It requires a lot of mindfulness and a lot of alertness because we're so good at creating little worlds right away. Letting these things bubble up and flow out. The problem is they keep bubbling up and flowing out. And the word asawa, or outflow, effluent, fermentation, the list they have for these is also a list of what they call the floods. I mean, when these are allowed to really flow all the time, and the mind is flooded by these things if we're not careful. So learn how to keep your head above water. Don't let these fermentations overflow the mind. Learn how to keep them in check. If you're going to create something in the mind, we'll create this sense of stillness, this sense of centeredness, this sense of expansive awareness. Work at that. Because that's taking those raw materials and it's taking that tendency to create things and turning it in the right direction. bringing that tendency in line with the Dharma. With the Dharma that points out and says, look, freedom lies in this direction. You've tried lots of other things. Why don't you really give this a serious try? And be careful not to let yourself get knocked off course.